Thank you, Brother Brent. Appreciate those thoughts. I can really feel for what Brother Brent was talking about trying to condense all these thoughts into 20 minutes is next to impossible. My section is on blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the premise that I'd like to take off on is that the hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness involves the process of justification, which is another term for righteousness, and also sanctification, which results in the peace with God and the peace of God. As we know, righteousness and justice is the foundation of God's throne. It's the standard or the way of life that we must all attain to if we will ultimately be delivered to everlasting life. So we have two objects this afternoon, and the first one is to get into what the meaning of hungering and thirsting is, and the second thing is to answer the question of how we are filled or how we are satisfied and made happy by God's righteousness. Well, hungering and thirsting, as we all know, or hopefully most of us have experienced that feeling of hungering and thirsting before a meal. Some of us may have even gone to the point of hungering nigh unto death because of sickness or otherwise. Some of our brethren in foreign countries, I'm sure, have experienced this in the persecution that they've gone through. It's a feeling or a controlling influence that controls our thoughts, our minds. It's a very potent influence. We just can't wait until we can have that drink of water or that piece of bread to satisfy this hunger and thirst. So we think that the scripture is talking about an overwhelming desire, a strong desire to be made righteous. It's a basic need that we all have and that we all need to develop. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And then further on in that chapter, you may be familiar with those words in John 6. He goes on and he says some more difficult, even more difficult words. He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourselves." And so this spiritual food and spiritual drink that we need to desire and need to have a hungering and thirsting for is spiritual food and spiritual drink. And for those who are faithful, will lead to the immortal life, the everlasting life with Christ in the kingdom. But God's righteousness is very difficult to categorize, but we made an attempt to do that in two ways. We think that His righteousness is a gift. It's the gift that comes through the justification we have in Christ. And we have the scripture in Romans 5:17 that shows us this. "For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So we, being justified by faith, we have this peace with God. The second way that I categorize God's righteousness is the work of righteousness, which needs to be added to this faith that we have in Christ. And that's the work of sanctification. And we think that this has to do with the peace of God, which guards our guards our hearts and minds in Christ. Therefore, having this righteousness of Christ as a free gift, it's the only way, now is to receive this gift through faith and through belief in Christ's merit on our behalf. And we need to be even diligent, even though it's a free gift, we need to be diligent to appropriate or to receive this merit of Christ in this age of faith. And we know how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We think that there's a prerequisite also to receiving this imputed merit of Christ, or this reckoned righteousness of Christ. And now, the only way to receive that is by a true realization of our undone condition. And we know that not many wise, not many noble are in that condition to come into Christ and hear the calling of Christ. And realizing this undone condition, it should generate in our hearts this strong desire for God's righteous provision through Christ that fills our hearts as we realize His love on our behalf. And this is the basis of our righteousness. It's the basis of everything that is built on top of that justification. It is that justification. The Scriptures talk about our own righteousness. It talks about the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in which must be surpassed by coming into God's righteousness through Christ. Our righteousness, we know, is as filthy rags in the sight of God, and we need this covering of Christ. Remember the condition of Adam after he sinned. He realized his nakedness and his undone condition, and he tried to cover himself with the fig leaves. But what did God provide for him? He provided this beautiful lesson for us of providing garments of skin for Adam and Eve, which is a beautiful picture of the sacrifice of Christ that's necessary to cover our weaknesses and sins. And so we have this term, the robe of Christ's righteousness, that covers our imperfections, the imperfections of thought, word, and deed. And you know, most Christians that you talk to will stop at that point, won't they? They think that's all that's needed for salvation is this belief in Christ, this belief in the merit of Christ's sacrifice. And certainly, we don't want to minimize that, and we realize the great importance of being covered by Christ's blood. But don't we need to go on, brethren? Don't we need to realize that justification is only the beginning of this course that leads us to ultimate salvation? Remember the verse in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. It says, Christ has made unto us wisdom, justification, sanctification, and finally deliverance. And as we learned this morning in Brother Allen's talk, that we need to add to our faith all these virtues and qualities of character, that we can have that abundant entrance into the glorious kingdom of our Lord and Master. So this process of sanctification, it's a lifelong work that needs to be added onto our faith in Christ's merit on our behalf. I think we all know what the word sanctification means. It means that we are separated for God's purpose or God's work. And the truly consecrated individual will realize that their reckoned justified humanity is dead with Christ, that they have come now to be alive to God as new creatures in Christ, that their flesh is reckoned dead through this covering that we've received. And Romans 8:10 puts it very beautifully. This whole chapter is beautiful along this line of righteousness, of Christ's righteousness and adding to that righteousness. Romans 8:10. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, or I believe that means on account of sin, or being part of that sin offering process, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So as new creatures, we develop our own righteousness, not apart from Christ, but through Christ. We need to go on and let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Remember James' admonition that faith without works is dead. So we need to add this work of righteousness to the justification of righteousness that we receive. The thought of being sanctified, also we know that scripture of being sanctified through the truth. Thy word is truth. And this again is another work of being sanctified. We're cutting things away from our lives and adding, as Brother George was saying this morning, adding the valuable things of righteousness. In study, personal study, making time for personal study is so important in gaining this righteousness that's so necessary. And not only making a diligent study of present truth, but also studying our lives to see that they are in accordance with what we are studying, with the doctrines that we are studying. Isaiah 32:17 is probably the most beautiful scripture that I found along this subject of righteousness, one that I'm sure you're all familiar with. Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. So another object or another purpose of this righteousness that we have through Christ is to go on and be of service to our Heavenly Father by being ambassadors for Christ and helping others to experience this peace that comes through righteousness. And we know that that beautiful scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, which I probably should end with, 2 Corinthians 5 talks about this responsibility we have of entering into the righteousness, the righteousness that will ultimately reconcile the whole world to God. Verses 14 and 15, for the love of Christ controls us. In other words, it leaves us no other choice. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And then he goes on and he tells about what it means to be a new creature in Christ, that all things have passed away and we have all things are new. And after that, he gets into the responsibility of helping others receive this peace with God and this peace of God that comes through Christ. Verses 18 through the remainder of the chapter. It says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, or to be a sin offering on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And again, I think this is talking about the righteousness that's developed through the sanctification of being in the body of Christ and being made co-workers with our dear Lord. And ultimately, being faithful and having the privilege of reconciling the whole world back to God. So just in summary, brethren, we think that hungering and thirsting for righteousness is a desire that is stimulated through our undone condition and realizing our need for Christ and his merit on our behalf. And going on and laying hold of God's provisions in Christ, of realizing that we can now become the righteousness of God through Christ. By being sanctified through his blood, by being fully consecrated to the high calling in Christ Jesus, and sacrificing our hopes, aims, and ambitions to that work of bringing back the world, the mankind, to God. Two scriptures to close. One of these was brought out by Brother Brent in James 3, verse 18, and this is also from Rotherham. And the harvest of righteousness with peace is sown by them which make peace. In Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with thy likeness when I awake. May the Lord add his blessing.